Thank you, musicians. I'll need you at the end of the service. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, offhand, today's sermon is about praise and worship. Amen. And how praise and worship brings a degree of wisdom that you never knew possible, where you operate effortlessly in the wisdom of God, where you begin to tap into the intelligence of your God, because Jesus is wisdom. Wisdom is not an it, wisdom is a he, and he abides in you. The moment you embrace Jesus Christ, he abides in you. We saw last week that we got to learn to be more intuitive, learn to follow the peace or the absence of peace. But today, we're going to share with you some practical things about how to tap into that wisdom that's inside you already, if you're a believer. Praise the Lord. You excited? I'll tell you what's exciting. What's exciting is that I came this morning to church all prepared for one particular sermon on wisdom also, but I want to preach on something else. And the Lord changed my whole sermon in the first service. Changed the whole sermon. And we didn't have my verses up there because all the verses I gave earlier were not the verses that God had in his heart. So he told me when I was sitting down here during the communion in the first service, his son, I want you to preach on this. I said, Lord, I said, can I preach on that some other time? But how many know that he's boss? And he wants me to speak on praise, worship, and the power of music. Amen. In ushering in his wonderful manifest glory and presence. And I tell you this, you know what we had just now? It's just a little taste. We didn't do that in all the previous three services. But I just had to do it because when you're preaching on this for the past three services, somewhere, something's got to give. Amen? You know that the Bible says that God gave Solomon wisdom. 1 Kings 4. Now, the first three words are very important. Solomon did not go to school or some university to learn wisdom. He did not cultivate by himself that wisdom. The Bible says God gave. Everyone say, and God gave. You don't have wisdom, God can give it to you. Amen. God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Haman, Shakal, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Why would the Holy Spirit take the trouble to mention these people by name? Ethan, Haman, Shakal, Darda, the sons of Mahol. Why would the Holy Spirit take the time to mention them by name? Do you know that all these people are worship leaders? Do you know they are all people that lead in praise and worship, leading the people of God into the presence of God? All right? Haman, Ethan, Asaph, Darda, sons of Mahol. Mahol in Hebrew means the sons of the dunce. Mahol means dunce. And they're all involved in praise and worship. But the Bible says Solomon was wiser than all of them. But mark this, until Solomon came on the scene, they were the wisest in the land. And they were from the time of David, Solomon's father. In other words, David, who had many people under his rule at that time, he had mighty men that surrounded him who were also giant killers like him. Amen. As the leader, so goes the people. Amen. They caught his anointing and they are also giant killers. But none of them is mentioned in the Bible as wise. Amen. And then we have people that are builders. In fact, it was King David that gave the blueprint for the temple of Solomon to his son, which he received from the Lord. But David, who knew nothing about architecture, he was just a shepherd boy worshiping God. With just worshiping God, God gave him wisdom. And God's wisdom is not just spiritual. God can give you accounting wisdom. God can give you wisdom in the area of music. God can give you wisdom that will help you in your profession, in your business. And God will cause you to succeed with his wisdom. If you're a musician, God can give you wisdom in the area of music. Because God is the author of all music. Amen. I said, God is the originator of music, not the devil. And all these people, of all the people in the kingdom of David, Solomon's father, the wisest were people involved in praise and worship. Because as you worship God, as you praise God, you come near to God. And when you come near to God, when you worship God, there is no way but His presence and His glory and His wisdom rub up on you. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. And therefore, the Bible says He was wiser than all these worship leaders. Worship ushers you into the presence, the manifest presence of God. You see, the Lord is with all of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But the Lord's manifest presence is something you can see tangibly. You can see God's presence and glory on people. You can see sometimes when I spend time with certain ones, all right, I can sense the glory of God on that person. It makes me hungry for the presence of God. Amen. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This phrase was repeated a number of times in the book of wisdom, book of Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, by this fear of the Lord, your days will be multiplied. And not only will you have multiplied days, years of life will be added to you. In other words, your years will be full of life. Hallelujah. Not just long life, but full of life. Years of life. No point having a long life if it's miserable. A long, good life. Amen. And it comes through the fear of the Lord. And don't let any preacher tell you that this fear of the Lord means you are afraid of God. In fact, Jesus himself defined for us what is the fear of the Lord. Because in the temptation, when the devil tempted Jesus, all right, to worship him, Jesus answered, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." In fact, he says, "It is written." And he was quoting from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, where actually when you look at it, it says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord." But Jesus paraphrase that, giving us the true meaning of fear of the Lord. He says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord." In other words, how many know that Jesus knows what he wrote? Amen. And Jesus said, the fear of the Lord is the worship of God. So when you say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that means when you worship God, wisdom begins. Hallelujah. You might not be in the know now, but you will be in the know when you worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor, smile and say, this truth is detrimental to your ignorance. Amen. I looked at Pastor Mark earlier and he was not able to put it all in one statement. Church, when you worship God, you have to utter words to God. Okay, that's words of praise, words of admiration to God. Whatever you feel in your heart. You won't be fulfilled until you say it to the Lord. And sometimes having a worship song like what we sang just now, "You are my hiding place," which is actually the words of David that's inspired by God's Spirit. You can use those words, can borrow those words and sing to the Lord. Amen. But worship also is not just words, but also music. Now, there has come a teaching into the charismatic body of Christ where it says that worship is not just speaking songs of love to Jesus or singing it, or music. It's more than that. Worship is a lifestyle. Now, I've preached that. I've heard others preach that. But I tell you something. The Lord challenged me on that. The Lord says, show me in my word where it says worship is a lifestyle. In the Bible, worship is always uttering words of praise to God as well as music. Godly music. Anointed music. Amen. So when people say worship is a lifestyle, that means they don't have to sing to God. They don't have to listen to anointed music. You know, my whole life is worship. It is like a husband. You know, sometimes one of the biggest complaints that wives have about their husbands is that my husband is not romantic. But the husband comes in, when the pastor approaches the husband says, "But I love my wife. He should know what. I work overtime. My whole life declares I love my wife. I bring home the bacon or the char siu pao. He should know I love her." You know, but the wife wants, it's not enough. Your life is wonderful, your life of sacrifice and overtime for her is all wonderful, but she still wants you to utter words of praise. And all the women said, there? The amen was quite emphatic. Amen. So let's not now. Our whole life should glorify God. Our whole life, our service, our profession, our families, our financial life, our walk with God, all should glorify Jesus Christ. And if you call, you want to call that worship, fine. But do not excuse yourself from singing songs of praise to God. Amen. In fact, I tell you something. The more you learn to sing songs of praise to God, or even speak songs of praise for those who are not musically inclined, the Bible says you'll be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 gives us, if you're going to find out, Pastor Prince, how come, you know, I say this to the glory of God, by the grace of God, you cannot run a church like this without making some right decisions. You cannot run a church this size with professionals like all of you, all right, and run it successfully without making some right decisions. So I'm going to share with you some things that I do before I handle a case. Now, usually when a case comes up to the level of the pastors, all right, and they find that they're not able to handle it, or it warrants my personal attention, that means what? That situation usually is more challenging, involving a leader, or it's not a pleasant situation usually. So I'm usually involved with challenges that are not the norm. Amen. I need wisdom from somewhere. I need God to help me in making the right decisions. I'm going to tell you what I do on my way to church office, on my way to handle that person, on my way to talk to my group of leaders. This is usually what I do. It's going to help you to understand some of this thing. But let's look at the scriptures for this background. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And notice, if you walk as wise, comma, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. God wants you to redeem the time. Notice, it's only as wise redeeming the time. Don't walk as fools. If you walk as fools, you waste time. All right? When you walk as wise, you are redeeming the time. You know, what is the word redeeming? The word redeeming is the same like when Jesus redeemed us from the curse. All right, he redeemed us, that means he buy us from the slave market of condemnation and sin. He bought us from the slave market with a price, his blood. So redeeming lost time, do you know all the lost time that has gone can be redeemed? How do you redeem it? Redeem is what? To buy with a price. What is the price? Wisdom. Do not walk as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Amen. Some of you, you're no longer in your 20s. You're no longer in your teens, and you're still wasting time. The Bible says, do not walk as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, Pastor Mark gave me for my birthday, one of the things he gave me was a little poster with my birth date. And it's supposed to tell me who are the celebrities born on this day, none of which impressed me. And then the events that happened on May the 15th, none of which excited me. In fact, the most exciting one, Israel coming back as a nation, fulfilling Bible prophecy, is not even there. The world doesn't care about such things. And but one interesting thing on that little poster was this. If you are born on May 15, 1963, you have lived 15,000 plus days. I didn't realize I had lived that many days. Amen. And it makes you feel like you want to make sure that every year counts. You know, I don't want to be like those kind of people where 1 year goes in, another year comes in, another year goes out, and they don't care. They are floating like dead fish. Dead fish float. And they are just, you know, letting the years go by. No, I want to live years of life. And every year I say, man, this is a wonderful year. In fact, the whole year feels like a lifetime. Amen. That's what God wants to do for you. And the only way for you to buy back time, to redeem the time, is with wisdom. All right? Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Looks like the Holy Spirit is pounding home, all right, the fact that He wants us to be wise. Wise. New Testament way. Wise. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us how to be wise. Now, the Holy Spirit will not go into exhorting us, or rather, He will not exhort us to be wise, not to be foolish, but understanding what God's will is, without going into minute detail of showing us how to walk in that wisdom. Okay, are you ready? All right, the next verse says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this word here, be filled with the Spirit, is passive command in the Greek. That means it is not you fill yourself, that's active command. It is allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. And how do you allow yourself to be filled with God's Holy Spirit? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spirit songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Notice words of praise and music going together. The Bible says that the moment you utter songs of praise, like what we did just now, do you know you're being refilled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know you're being filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know that the Bible goes on to say when you do this, husbands will love their wives and wives will be able to adapt to their husbands and children will be able to honor their parents and parents will bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In fact, all the human mechanics of relationship will work when the oil of God's Spirit is there. Amen. All right, there's no oil, sparks fly. Amen. Right after that. So, charismatics have missed it. They talk about you got to pray through the night. You got to have fasting and praying and long prayers to have the Holy Spirit. It's simpler than that. Let's read again. The way to be filled with the Spirit or to allow the Spirit to fill you, a passive command. Allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit. How? By speaking in psalms, hymns, and spirit songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that means when you wake up in the morning, you go like this. You are my hiding place. Or find a song you know and just start singing the song. Amen. And then the song will lead you, a psalm or a hymn that you know will lead you to spiritual songs or spirit songs. You know spirit songs? When you bathe, and you are being filled with the Spirit. Amen. And what's going to happen? Let's go backwards, okay? When you are making music in your heart and singing to the Lord freely, the Bible says you are being filled with the Spirit. All right? And when you're filled with the Spirit, you will not be unwise, but you understand what the will of the Lord is. So before I handle a situation, you see, it's important when these kind of cases come up to me at this level, usually when they come up to Pastor Prince, usually it's cases that I can be angry in the natural over, or I can say things like, how can these kind of things be? You know, how come, you know, how come this leader did not do this? How come they kind of, and it can cause a resentment or anger or just being discouraged or overwhelmed. I need to be able to be free from all that. In order for you to help people, you must be free from people. You cannot be affected by people. You can always think about what people think about you and then help people. In order for you to help people, you must be free from their opinion about you. You know, Jesus said to the Apostle Paul on the road of Damascus, the first time he met Jesus, Jesus knocked him off his horse. Remember that? And Jesus said, I am delivering you from the Gentiles unto whom I send you. Interesting statement. Jesus delivered him from the people to whom he is sent. You must be set free from people and their opinions to help people. You cannot help people if you are bound by their opinion about you. The fear of man brings a trap, the Bible says. Amen. Are you listening, church? Praise the Lord. Now, God is so merciful that sometimes you don't even have a song, so you have a tune in your heart. Don't even know what to sing. Just, and you know something? Because the Holy Spirit indwells you, your compared to your friend who's not saved is an anointed. Amen. Now, Pastor Prince, I don't have a singing voice. That's why God is very merciful. God did not say, all right, He did not say, verse 19, singing to one another. He says speaking. Speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, look up here. How many of you have been around people while you are singing, they are speaking? In school, for example, Majula Singapura. Bahagia, cita cita, mulia. You know, they are, have you been there? Or in some, you know, contest or whatever, you know, you see these people who are auditioning, they're auditioning. Some of them are singing, they're speaking, they're not singing. Long, long ago in Bethlehem. But you know what God says? It's okay. Don't think that you have to sing like Adeline. You don't have to. You don't have to. I mean, if you think that you're going to sing like that, I'm giving all this up, man, tomorrow. I'm not able to worship God. No, no. God is fair. God did not say singing. God says speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. And you know what? You can just tell God. You see, I believe many a times our attempts to worship God, it's like Jessica when she wrote to me years ago. Not years ago, a few years ago. She's still young. You know, but the first time she learned to write, you know, it's like I love L-U-V. I forgot L-U-V or L-U-F. U. All right. She had a card that she made herself, just fold it and put on I love L-U-F, U. But do you know something? That card is still with me. How many realize it's wrong? In case you don't know, I'm just like, you know, it's L-O-V-E. All right. But do you know it's dear to my heart? Do you know that every new convert, every child of God who attempts to speak words of love to God, you don't have to have the right pitch. God is not a Simon Cowell. Just to let you know. Okay? God looks at your heart and God loves it. But there's something powerful about praise, songs, and music. And here is where I want to just push a little bit. Now, listen carefully. Do you know that as far as the world is concerned, the highest form of music that they say has tremendous physiological benefits as well as benefits for the mental realm is actually classical music. I don't know whether you read any accounts on that, but it used to intrigue me a lot some years ago when I was studying praise and worship to read up on this. And there is an experiment done by the Russian scientists on two groups of children, okay? And they want to learn, they want to find out how best to, you know, optimize their learning capacity, how that they can flow in peak learning. They call it super learning. So they put two groups of children about the same level of IQ, all right, the same age and all that. And both of them about the same kind of level of temperament as well. They try to find the most identical. And they made an experiment. And one group, all right, they're about to undertake a test. One group before the test took a whole hour to revise the test. They go through the books, they memorize what they need to memorize. But the other group, they made them listen to Mozart music. Okay, when the test results came out, guess what? The ones that listened to the music scored much higher than the ones that did not. Both same level of intelligence. Now, that in fact, they made this study. They found out when the mind is relaxed from music, their ability to recall facts comes back faster. In fact, there's a scientific research now proving this idea that the less you think, the more creative you become. I know some of you think, but Pastor Prince, my husband must be the most creative guy, huh? Because he doesn't think at all. I'm not referring to that kind of duh, Vinci. All right, I'm referring to... you know, people that are relaxed. They don't have to be analyzing everything all the time. They don't have to analyze what Pastor Prince is saying. Analyze the words. Why is it like that? Why is this? Why that? You know, they are willing to enjoy what they don't understand. People who say they must understand everything that happens before they enjoy, tell them whether they enjoy the aircon or not. Whether they understand the aircon. All right. If they say that they don't understand the aircon, tell them don't enjoy. Based on your reasoning, you cannot enjoy. They say, I cannot enjoy God unless I understand everything in the Bible. Then you can never enjoy aircon unless you understand how it works. Amen. So, brain surgeons have found out that there are two parts to our brain. Now, who made our brain? You're not sure. What have I preached? God made your brain. Jesus, help us, Lord. God made your brain, okay? Now, when you come to church, please don't leave your brain in the drawer at home, okay? Bring it along. We never say that brain is not useful. You bring use your brain, but the brain is not to dominate. That's all. Amen. Now, brain surgeon says there are two sides to your brain. You can say like it's two brain. All right? Left brain, right brain. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's hope both are there. Amen. Left brain, right brain. Now listen, your left side of your brain controls opposite, nah? Your left side controls your right side. Your right side controls your left side. That's why when someone has a stroke on the left side, it affects their right side. Their motor skills on the right side is paralyzed or it's affected. It's opposite. That's why they say when you look at someone, all right, and usually they are more left brain. And by the way, left brain are people who are very analytical. People, this is the part of the brain that the in the Greek, it says dialogismos, where you get the word logic in Greek. Dialogismos. On the right side of your brain is dianoia. Say dianoia. Dianoia is the right brain, which is more creative. It's more abstract. All right, it's more artistic. But the left brain is more deductive, analytical. That's where you get your 2 plus 2 is 4. You plan. And that's the part that you worry. That's why it is a left brain, people. And you know, people who are left brain, by the way, just let you know, they are the majority in the world. One study showed 90% of the people interviewed are left brain. 90% of the people. Seldom do you find people who are right brain. Even artists, even musicians, not all of them are right brain. Now I'm coming to something, listen first. Your left side, Greek is dialogismos, logic. Left side is logic, right side is dianoia. Now this is the part that God wants to activate, because this part, majority of the people are using. You know, as children, we were very balanced. We use both brains. You know, we are very imaginative. We are very creative. We dream. We imagine. We saw. We have fantasies. You know, but as we grow up, our education system, for example, is left brain. It's more deductive. It's causing our children to analyze things instead of imagining things. Now, why is this important? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says the spirit of wisdom operates via your right brain. Okay, let me explain. Let me show you this, okay? Are you excited? Ephesians 1. It says, God may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. The eyes. Look at Bakchu. Look in your mata. The eyes. Notice eyes. Eyes means what? To see. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The word understanding in the Greek here is dianoia. Which part of the brain is that? Right brain. God says, when the spirit of wisdom is given to you, all right, your imagination begin to see. Oh, hallelujah. Your imagination begin to see. You can see a bright future. You can see a healed body. You can see the provisions. Amen. Jesus says, don't stay in the realm of deduction and analysis. What shall we eat? How shall we eat? Where is the money going to come from? Where is the supply going to come from? That is the left brain working. The left brain is the part that worries. Amen. What shall we? How shall we? How about tomorrow? Look at Dow Jones. Look at what's happening. But the right brain is where the spirit of wisdom. Notice, when the spirit of wisdom is given to you, comma, the eyes of your imagination being enlightened, being filled with light, enlightened, being filled with light. Your eyes become full of light. You begin to see what God wants you to see. Amen. Sometimes when I stand down here, all right, and I'm just minding my own business and I begin to see, I can see sometimes growth in people's body or certain conditions, or I see a symptom or whatever and I call it out. Usually when I obey the Lord in doing this kind of thing that the spirit of wisdom shows me or revelation shows me, all right, the healing is almost always immediate. Amen. Now you can come to me and ask for prayer. I can pray for you by faith. You can receive by faith. But I can't guarantee you the kind of result when God begins to show me. Now, usually, listen carefully, I don't get it by analyzing. I get it by seeing. Amen. I can see people's, like a silhouette of the figure of the person, and I see a black dot, for example, on the shoulder. And then I give a word about the pain on the shoulder, and instantly the black dot disappears. The person is healed. Now, how many realize that's how God functions? Amen. How many times Jesus says, behold, I give you power. Notice the word begins with behold. Look. Are you listening, church? Once upon a time, we were all seers. Children dream. They see themselves becoming doctors, princess, pilots, heroes, Spider-Man. And then, you know, unfortunately, I heard about one girl. I know of one girl in our church who was told by the teacher, "Stop dreaming in class." That's a very sad thing to tell to a child. Stop dreaming. That's the reason why we are not as creative as people who dream. Thomas Edison was last in his class, but he was a dreamer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know what? I'm going to give you a powerful truth right now. You know what's the most powerful tool, or rather one of the most powerful tools you can ever use to activate your right brain? One is praying in tongues. Do you know that scientists tell us we are only using one-tenth of our brain? Turn to your neighbor and said, almost there. One-tenth of our brain. Okay? Now, remember that Adam had a mind where God told him to name all the animals and all the species. Imagine the millions of species of animals and insects and all that. And every creeping thing that creeps. And after he named all of them to the last one, he's able to call forth the first one by memory again. He's able to remember all their names. He didn't forget. That was the mind Adam had before he fell. Today, we are very quick to say, "Lao liao, I'm forgetful," you know, the kind of thing. But we should not be confessing the curse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So, that means 1/10, that means what? 9/10 is not being used. Right? 90% is not being used. Some years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, the more you pray in tongues, he says, the more you activate all the ninth part that's not being activated. I say, explain to me some more. He asked me this question. How many gifts of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 14? 1 Corinthians 12. I said, 9. 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. He says, all my gifts is to provide for what you lack. Now, the more you pray in tongues, your mind come alive. Are you listening? Okay? But one of the most powerful tools you can use is music. Music exercises the right side of your brain. Now, I must tell you, it's the right kind of music. You know, in England, they made a study. They used two groups of cows that are nursing cows. They just gave birth. And they're supposed to be what? Having plenty of milk, right? So they experimented with music. One group of cows, all right, they let them listen to heavy metal all day. I mean, they put earphones on the cows. And the other group, they put classical music, Beethoven or something like that. And you know what? They came back the next day, and the group of cows that listened to classical music gave buckets and buckets of milk. The other group could hardly produce any. I'm going to say this real quick, Lawrence. If you are believing God for a baby and all that, I suggest you listen to classical music and anointed music real fast, okay? Not listening to all those heavy metal, because it will help you produce in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. What do you say, Pastor Prince? Get the tape. All right? Listening can produce more. Okay, anyway. And that's a proven thing. You know, they made another study, and this one I forgot, is it the US or England? They put potted plants, upright plants, okay, in an enclosed area, and with two large speakers on either end. And one side, they blared rock music. And the other side, they had classical music. I forgot how long, 1 or 2 days. They went back and looked at the upright plants. They all lean away from the rock to the classical. Amen. Do you know that classical music is the highest form of music that is beneficial this side of heaven? But the world has not experimented with anointed music, our praise and worship music. In fact, I see it as the world's music, all right? There's some music that is that seems to be beneficial to some people, evoke good memories, whatever. It's on the 30-fold realm. Classical is on the 60-fold. Anointed music is 100-fold. So if classical music can enhance your child's intelligence, amen, imagine playing anointed music all day. Jessica, since she was a baby, when she came back from the hospital and all that, from day one, we let her listen 24 hours to anointed music. Amen. Until now, she sleeps listening to music. And sometimes when we are driving and all that, and we just, you know, sometimes scanning through the different channels and all that, she would just press her favorite channel, 92.4, unfortunately. Which is what? Classical music. And she loves classical music, you know, because she grew up under this kind of. And some people say, well, you know, it's so boring and all that. Actually, tell the truth. It, you know, if normal music, okay, or even rock music and all that, it's actually considered as ABC of music. Beethoven and all that is considered university. It's like deeper language. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you just listen to classical and you know, you're not supposed to listen to rock. And there's no such thing as cannot. Once in a while, I love to listen to some songs and just enjoy it with my wife, or I myself like to listen to it. But be careful of the blues. You know the blues that come on you? You know what's the blues? Like some songs really make you feel like even the singer end up in hospital for a while. You know, like, I can't live if living is without you. I can't live. You sing long enough and you listen to it long enough, you can end up in the hospital. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. You know, for some reason, there are people who love sad songs. They love, you know, the melancholic feeling, and they love the sad feeling. But it's not good. The Bible says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And by a broken spirit, it dries the bones. But a merry heart does good like medicine. Having a melody in your heart to the Lord, all right, will cause your whole body to come alive. Amen. Do you know that they've made studies with music, and they found out that music can have a good benefit, physiological benefit, on your blood pressure, on your health, on your stress level. Now they are using, there are many scientists using music to bring down people's stress level. They call it entrainment. Okay? Now, entrainment is a process, very interesting. When I was studying this aspect, you know, they made this experiment in an enclosed room where you put, you know, pendulum clock, like grandfather's clock, those small pendulum clocks. Okay, and they put like 30 or 40 down there, all right, many of them, and they start them at different time. So some are moving against one another, some are moving in different directions at different times and start at different times and all that, and they leave those clocks for a number of hours. After that, they come back to the room. Guess what? All the clocks are moving in the same direction. Now, it is not... No, it's not. Okay, this is not a horror movie, don't worry. It's not an evil spirit cause all those things. Nope. It's called entrainment. All right. There's a magnetic process even in this room that responds to music, that responds to rhythm. And when you are singing in the spirit, you are in the highest realm there is. Are you listening? Whereas when you are suffering from high blood pressure and stress and all that, your respiration is fast and your heartbeat is fast. When you listen to peaceful music, especially when you are undistracted, put on a earphone and all that, and you sit down and you listen to it, entrainment happens. This process called entrainment, which means the harmony of the music, and it's like it's peaceful and all that, and you are going real fast at this pace, and it's going at a very steady, peaceful pace. It won't be long, you come to this pace, and you're moving in sync with the music. Amen. Now, dentists are beginning to use music. Because last time, the only music you hear is the drill. One of the most irritating, you know, they can just kill that sound. And the worst thing you can hear is, oops. a dentist saying, oops. Entrainment. It will cost, as you listen to godly music, surround yourself. It's not expensive, church, to invest in a hi-fi set nowadays, isn't it? To invest in a Discman or an MP3 or an iPod to listen to anointed music. Now, it's okay. Once in a while, you listen to some rock music or some... I like to hear some music by Bryan Adams, myself, personally. I'm not hooked on it. My staple diet is not Bryan Adams, okay? Amen. But I'll tell you this. I know this guy is Bon Jovi, Pastor Lawrence. Mine is Born Again. But don't make it your staple diet, because there is something about music that can cause you to be melancholic. I'm going to show you an example in the Bible of a king by the name of King Saul. And what happened is that King Saul, one day, the Bible says he was melancholic, he was sad, he was feeling the blues, and an evil spirit came on him. Now, this time he's really troubled by the evil spirit. And then one of his men, having discernment about the situation, says, get now for you a skillful man on the harp, on a string instrument. And one of them says, I saw a Bethlehemite, a young shepherd boy, who is very skillful on the harp, and he is a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. So Saul says, get him here. So David came. And the Bible says, listen carefully, that it was whenever the spirit from God, or rather that phrase there, spirit allowed by God, not God sent it, all right? It's from the devil. When the spirit was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. The first recorded instance of deliverance from evil spirit is not commanding and shouting, it's by music. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. All right. In the Young's translation, it says an evil spirit of sadness came on Saul. It's an evil spirit. You know, when people feel depressed, they feel melancholic, they feel like it's always raining over their head. That's a work of the evil spirit. And stop listening to songs that make you feel the blues. That's why they call it the blues. And what's happening is like this. When you are feeling blues and depressed and all that, doctors will tell us. They say that, do you know people prone to cancer, for example, they said, do you know that they have a very depressed personality? Doctors will tell you, in fact, not too long ago in the Straits Times, there was a seminar, all right, called Personality Profiles of People Subject to... It's very interesting that they have actually, not in every case, but as a general rule of the term, there's a certain kind of personality that's more subject to this kind of disease. For some reason, they never say happy people are subject to this kind of disease. Okay, the Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine. Proverbs 17 verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine with no side effects. But a broken spirit will give you arthritis. It will dry your bone. Amen. So you see, there's no point drinking lots of milk and you're always sad. You're drying up your bone. You know, the Bible says when you worship God, Proverbs 3, when you fear the Lord, when you worship God, it'll be health to your navel and moistening to your bones. Proverbs 3, it shall be moistening to your bones. That means you will never suffer osteoporosis or arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis because your bones is always moistened. You know, all these things that's causing problem in your bones, you feel the pain is because your bones are dried up. And the Bible says a broken spirit, a rejected spirit, a dejected spirit, a sad spirit, a melancholic spirit dries your bones up. You find that people who go through a major crisis or major sadness, a death of a loved one or a divorce, usually you mark them, many of them, they end up with some sort of condition that is precipitated by a sad spirit. So an evil spirit of sadness came on Saul. Now, for years, I'm going to share you something that I never shared before. Or because of time. For additional tape copies, I'll come back in the month of July. I'm going for holiday, you know. Next week, no more. Okay? I'll continue. Okay? Okay, you all ask for it, now. She'll be here at 9 o'clock. Praise God. No, I'm just teasing. Okay, let me share with you this. I've never shared before. You know what, Lawrence? For years, we always thought that when David played, the evil spirit left. Then Saul was refreshed, right? Because the evil spirit left. The spirit of sadness left, according to Young's translation. But look carefully. That's why you must read the Bible slow and meditate. Look at this. It says, as David played, all right, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and then the spirit would depart from him. In other words, which one happened first? The spirit left him, then he was refreshed and well, or he was refreshed and well, and the evil spirit could not stay on? Which one came first? He was refreshed and well. What caused him to be refreshed and well? The music, the anointed music, the godly music. The moment your inner man is in sync, it feels peaceful, the evil spirit cannot remain. The evil spirits cannot remain on people that are peaceful. They cannot. They just cannot. Hallelujah. The moment David played, the moment peace entered, but your love are terrible. Huh? Making melody, you know. Only God can appreciate. You know what happened to him? He was refreshed. He was refreshed first. He was refreshed and well first. Then the evil spirit left. What's going to happen when you allow your family to listen to anointed or classical music 24 hours a day? How about when your children are sleeping? How about during exam period? Now, Pastor Prince, exam must study. Some of the kids have been telling their parents after the first few services I preach on this, they say that, see, must listen to music, rock and roll, you know, mom, then my studies can improve. I'm not referring to rock and roll or heavy metal or whatever, but music that enhances the blessings of God, the flow of God in your life. Do you know that Jesus endured the sufferings on the cross by psalming? Do you know that the psalm is recorded for us in Psalms 22? It begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that whole psalm talks about look at his bones are exposed because they hit him the whip. His bones are exposed. The whole psalm talks about the Messiah's prayer on the cross. It was not a prayer, but a psalm, a song of praise. Because the second verse says, you are holy, O thou that inhabits the praise, begin to praise God. And then you know how the psalm ends? Psalm 22 begins with, my God, why have you forsaken? The whole psalm ends with, that he has done this or accomplished this. It literally ends with, it is finished. Amen. So Jesus even endured the sufferings, the greatest sufferings any man would ever suffer, inwardly, outwardly, suspended within heaven and earth. He endured it all by a psalm. Do you know right after the Lord's Supper, he and his disciples sang a hymn. Amen. I'm telling you, music can even alleviate your sufferings. Before the Lord, it was worship. It was not for alleviation of sufferings because he endured all our sufferings. But he was setting for us an example. You know, the Bible says today Jesus is in our midst singing praises to the Father. Hebrews tells us that. Amen. So surround yourself on your way to work. Begin to sing. Oh, hallelujah. Play it. You know, we have two cities that are highly anointed. And one of them is Touch of His Presence, because this particular one, although it's vocal, I'm singing songs that are spontaneous, and it's songs like, you know, before a service, I would sing songs by the Spirit. Down through the years, they took some of these songs and they put it in Touch of His Presence. So those songs are songs that are on the spur of the moment, inspired, not rehearsed, inspired by the Spirit. Now we're going to have another part two coming up later on this year, where down through the years, we have a number of songs already. Right, it's all taped down, so it's all going to be compiled into another song. This first album, Touch of His Presence, has brought healing, physical healing to a number of people. Even Jack himself was healed by listening to that CD. And many people have been healed listening to that CD. Amen. But there's another one that I produced recently because I had this vision. I wanted you all to have something where your children can listen while they are sleeping, your newborn baby can listen, or you're going through, you know, sleepless night, you can't sleep, you lie down there, you're worried about something, you listen to the music, and it's called Still Waters. One of the best ways I study scripture, all right, I like to study, you know, it's like life without music is like watching a movie without the music. It's like eating food without the flavoring, without the spice. It's bland. Amen. So when I read the Bible, I like to play anointed music, or even sometimes classical music, really soft, just enough to hear here and there. And then I listen to the word. Amen. Take advantage of this resource. When your children are sleeping, play music, peaceful music, anointed music. Many of the classical composers, you know, they are believers. Bach, many of them, you look at their compositions, they talk about Jesus, Yesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, Handel's Messiah, the Baroque period. And it's very interesting that before there were classical music and all that, there was this period of the gospel of Jesus Christ being spread through the Reformation. And the Reformation brought forth people who are born again with music from heaven. Amen. And many of the classical music came out of this period, and many of them are born again people. And then guess what happens during that time? It gives birth to what? The most creative period of human history, where the Renaissance broke out. People became very creative, became inventors, became amazing, you know, use of their brain. They're able to see and create inventions. Now, what's going to happen when we really deliberately on purpose walk in this realm? Amen. Church, it will enhance your intelligence. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need that, you need that. Play softly for your child, your children as they are sleeping. Amen. Play anointed music, Daniel, for Ethan. Sorry, Evan. I'm thinking about Ethan over there in the Bible. And play anointed music. And you know what? You bring the child in a cocoon of peace. Because in Singapore, it's very hard for us to live in the countryside, right? Where it's very peaceful, and not everyone is like, you know, some of us, we are able to live in the countryside. Not me. You know, mine is in front of the highway, and I got neighbors upstairs. I don't know what they are doing upstairs. Carrying weights or whatever, you know, boom, always boom. 12 midnight for sure, boom, boom, boom. We have gone up upstairs a number of times and nicely talked to them. I mean, but you know what? When you just listen to that music, you are lost in the world. If not, you listen to all these horns blaring. It's best to surround your child with that peace as they are sleeping in a cocoon. You know, it's like the world. You know, oh, my sleeping child, the world's so wild, but you've built your own paradise. You all know the old hymn? You all don't know the old hymn. One day I'll ask Pastor Henry to teach you. All right? So you built like a little cocoon for them, a peace. Amen. By the way, this proud father want to tell you that Jessica just brought back her report card. The first report card that came back. And she got all very high marks for English, mathematics, and Chinese. Amen. And her best of all was her conduct. Very good. I never saw that for my report card. I can't remember very good, let alone good, you know. Mine is sometimes average or poor. Why laugh so loud? Amen. I'm now your pastor, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That old man is gone. I'm a new creation. Amen. So I believe it will help. You know, Jessica, when she studies, Wendy and I, we always give her a break. Watch TV or just do something, or we play football in the living room, you know, small ball. I mean, just have fun and try to break that flow. Because it's when they get very much into the flow and don't enjoy learning. You know, studies have shown that when children enjoy playing, all right, when they come to their studies, they are able to excel. Somehow, when you activate your right brain, and one of the best form is to listen to music, as you activate your right brain, your left side functions at peak efficiency. Even your deduction and all becomes accurate, becomes sharp. You know, it's amazing. Like I told you, I didn't prepare this for this message, you know. Amen. I had a different message altogether. But in the first service, God changed it. And can you believe it that a few days ago, my wife was talking to me about an article she was reading. And she passed me the article from New Paper, 2-page colored article about Brazil soccer team. And she says, it's a good illustration of law and grace, she said. So I was reading it. And true enough, they talk about how come the Brazilian soccer team is the best. They always are the tops compared to a European team. And, you know, they say that the Brazilian team, they do things different from the European soccer teams. For example, when their bus, their coach, come to the stadium, when the European coaches come, all right, you hear very quiet. Everyone is thinking about the game. Everyone is minimized talking. All are concentrating. Amen. But Brazil's team, they are dancing, you know, they are singing, samba, and belachan, and what else have you got? I mean, that's what they say in the article. Very interesting. You know, things that help them to optimize their efficiency. And then they say that as they are grooming their future soccer players amongst the young stars, you know, in Brazil, they say that they don't have leagues, they don't have competitions. They just let them enjoy the game. And if someone likes to play a left back, they let them play left back. They don't put them in positions. They let them enjoy the game. It's not clinical like the German team. All right? All right, if you are for German, God bless you. If you are for England, amen, mercy be upon you. All right, because Brazil is going to take the cup in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My favorite football player is Ronaldinho. You know, the 2D guy, he's always smiling with the long hair, you know. And in fact, some time ago, I read this article also in a new paper. They talk about Ronaldinho, and they said that you know, he came from a very poor background, and he grew up playing. You know, he developed his soccer dribbling skills by playing with his dog, who has since passed on. And now he dedicates his victory to that dog. I forgot what's the name, Bambi or Bamba, something like that. You know, and he still remembers that dog. And the dog would run for the ball, and he would try to keep the ball from the. That's where he got his skills from, he said. They had fun. That's what the Brazilian team is all about. You know, I was talking about Ronaldinho. Amen. That's why I make it a point. I didn't share about Ronaldinho in all the four services. But I shared in one service early on. And what happened? At the end of the service, I threw the altar call for people to receive Jesus. And a few people came up in that service. And one of them was wearing Ronaldinho's jersey. I'm telling you, all right? Your thing is a joke, all right? Pastor Prince joking up there. It's an anointed joke, okay? Salvation of souls, amen. What I'm trying to say, parents, is that, you know, let them enjoy themselves. Take breaks. I know exam is coming next week or whatever, you know, but you know what? Now just relax, enjoy. Yes, study, but give them breaks in between. Amen. For every 1 hour, give them about another 50 minutes of break or 20 minutes and just have fun. Amen. Even artists that learn to take a break from their work, when they go just doing something else, and when they come back, all right, they are able to have more flow in what they do. Are you listening, church? Amen. Now I'm going to close. I want to share with you about how this will enhance your ability to hear God's voice on the inside. Okay? How many like to hear God's voice? In case you're not interested. Let me just tell you this. The Bible says, and all these blessings shall come on you when you hearken to the voice. The voice of God. You know, sometimes we just talk about receiving God's blessings by faith, but actually the voice of God can lead us in specific ways to receive that blessing. You understand? The blessing is free, paid for by the blood of Jesus, but the direction will tell you, all right, meet God at Dhobi God MRT. There, you receive something free. Now, it's still free, but the Spirit of God will lead you as to how to receive it. You need to hear God's voice. Are you listening? I remember one time, there was someone with, the person was crippled for some reason, I forgot. Some of you still remember this. It happened here in the Rock Auditorium, and someone wheeled her. She was in a wheelchair, not even on crutches, on a wheelchair. And I was talking to her, and all of a sudden, before I knew it, I heard God's voice says, pull her out of the wheelchair. And some of you still remember that lady. I pulled her out of the wheelchair, and from then on, she was walking. She's still attending our church and still walking. They send the wheelchair home. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen carefully. If God doesn't speak, I will not pull. Amen. How do I know? Because last time I pull, they fall down, I run off. No. I'm just teasing. No. That was Lawrence. Oh, Pastor Henry, one of them. No. You better hear God's voice. Amen. You don't play games with people's lives. Amen. Now, you can hear God's voice. No, please don't think, oh, pastor, it's because he's a pastor, he hears God's voice. No, it's the right of every child of God. To qualify to hear God's voice, you must be a sheep. My sheep hear my voice. That's it. He didn't say my pastors hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Amen? Are you a sheep? Okay, you qualify. But sometimes, how many of you know, Jesus is so close inside us, he leads us by his, most of the time, with a presence of peace or no peace. Right? Peace, you do it. No peace, don't do it. We all know that. Primary one way is inner witness. But number two way is inner voice. God does give direction. I've heard God saying things like, he's lying. As I'm counseling people. Amen. And I say that, I'm going to ask you one more time. I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to ask you again. Finally, the person cracked down and said, okay, I'm sorry, Pastor Brin. Yes, it's true. You know, and I'm telling you, you need to hear God's voice to be able to help people. Amen. But that's not the normal way God leads, all right, through a voice. Usually to an inner witness. But the number two way is through a voice, inner voice. All right, I'm going to show you how we can all get out of tune sometimes with God's voice. How many know that when you're angry, you find it hard to hear God's voice, right? How many know that men of God get angry also? We get out of tune. I'm going to show you a man of God who got out of tune, who got angry. What happened was that there were two kings. One is king of Israel, who was an evil king named Jehoram. He was an evil king. He was the son of King Ahab and Jezebel. Wicked Jezebel who worshipped Baal. No, no, is it American Idol or one of the idols? Baal. And the other king is a righteous, godly king. He was Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. All right? What happened is that these two kings, because during that time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And what happened is that there was a large number of Moabites that outnumber these two kings. And they were coming to attack Israel. And these two kings got into alliance, which God said not to. God says he can save by few. Correct? But Jehoshaphat was afraid. The godly king was afraid. He got into alliance with Jehoram, king of Israel. And then they brought their people to a place, many of you have been there, near Petra, the mountains of Edom. And all the mountains there are red. You still remember? And it's a place where there's not much water. So now they are stuck there and the enemies were coming. All right. Not too far away. And they had no water. They ran out of water. Now they are stuck. Talk about between a rock and a hard place. They didn't have water for themselves and their animals. Then King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the godly king said, is there no prophet here? Let's follow the story. All right. He says, is there no prophet? Okay. Let me just show you this. Earlier. Go back. Yeah. Jehoshaphat says, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants says, Elisha is here. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Now look up here. Whenever you are faced with a crisis, what do? Seek for the word of God. Amen. Always get into the word. Whether it's listening to a message, whatever, get into the word. Go to God. Ask God for direction. Ask God for wisdom. So this godly king, Jehoshaphat, he was smart. He valued the word of God. He says, is there no prophet here? Then someone says, Elisha is nearby. Let's get him. Then he brought Elisha the prophet. But when Elisha saw the other king there, he was mad because he didn't like the other king. Because the other king was an evil king who worshipped other gods. And his parents were Ahab and Jezebel, wicked, who worship Baal. And this is what he said. Now, just imagine the emotion he felt. Elisha, the prophet, said to the king of Israel, the evil king, what have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and your mother. But the king of Israel said, no, for the Lord has called these three kings, and he tried to give an excuse. You know, Elisha was really angry, right? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Now, you want help, you come to God. You know, how many realize that men of God, something got temper also. Obviously, this guy is out of sync. He's angry. What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother and ask them to help you. Right? Now listen. This is what he said further. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I will not even look at you or see you. Do you think he was mad? Very mad. Very angry. Amen? So, actually, what's the purpose of inviting him? They want to ask the word of the Lord. Can you hear God for us? No? Now, always remember, don't come to me or any of the pastors and say, can you hear God for us? All right? This is wrong, erroneous, because all of us in the New Testament can hear God. God dwells in all of us. But back in those days, God only speaks to the king, the priest, and the prophet. But when the king is fallen, God speaks to the prophet. You understand? The word of God is with him. But today, all of us are kings and priests. Jesus made us so. Amen? Amen. Now, you can go to your pastor or leader, and when they speak a word of prophecy, it confirms what you have already in your heart. Amen. Are you ready for what he's about to say? He's out of tune. He's angry, right? How many of you, when you are angry, I don't say if, I say when. When you are angry, you don't feel like hearing God's voice, right? I mean, you don't feel like you're in the flow, right? I'm talking to the front row. Right? Right, Lawrence? Huh? Why you look at your wife like that? I mean, you don't feel like you're in the flow, right? You know what he said? Now, what do? When we don't feel the flow, Singaporeans, we say, well, you know what? Let's go to Newton Circus first. Right? Or we'll say, let's go for a drink. Amen. But this man of God, he knew he was out of the flow. He was angry with the king. You know what he said next? Now, bring me a musician. Bring me what? A musician. Not a hawker. You must know your priorities, lah. Then, listen, it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet, and the prophet gave the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now, they were in a place of desert where there were mountains all around them. They were red in color, Edomite mountains in Petra, and there was no water. And now the word of the Lord came to the prophet saying, and how did it come? It came when the prophet listened to a musician play. And as he listened, the hand of the Lord is an expression of the anointing of God came on him. Many of you felt that just now as we were worshiping God. The hand of the Lord came on you. In fact, some of you are trembling. I saw that. Some of you were crying. That's why don't resist. When God's anointing comes, enjoy it. Even you feel like falling, even don't worry. It's like general anesthesia. God's divine surgery. I guarantee you, when you fall under the power of God, or you're crying under the power of God, or you just surrender to God's power, amen, it will heal you, it will restore you, it will adjust, it will make you whole. Amen. So this man of God, as he listened to the music, the hand of the Lord came on him, the anointing came on him. He was now again adjusted. He was in sync with God. Now, doesn't mean you listen to in sync, you'll be in sync, okay? Just, you know, he was listening to God. And the word of the Lord came. What did God say? Thus says the Lord, make the valley full of what? Full of little wells, ditches, holes. All right? And you know what the prophet goes on to say? If you keep on reading, it says that you will not see rain, you will not see wind, but the valley be full of water. True enough, the next morning, the whole valley was full of water, supernaturally. And they all drank, they were refreshed, their animals were refreshed. And then when they rested in the mountains, the enemies came, and from afar, the enemies looked at the wells of water, because the waters were reflecting the red mountains around. They thought it was pools of blood. And all the Moabites shouted, unprepared. All right? They were all not armed. They were all, it was in their sheath, the swords, and they ran to take spoils. And they were ambushed by Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel, and they died. So when the word of the Lord came, it gave them refreshment and gave them victory over their enemies. Whenever God's word comes to you, it will always be victory. Always. Amen. So I'm here to share with you the importance of praise and worship, as well as the power of music. Learn to take advantage of it. Amen. Learn to listen to the best kind of music as your staple diet. I do not say you cannot listen to other music, but that those music cannot really satisfy you, but godly music can. And when you listen to music, please learn to savor the music. Some of you need to appreciate music in terms of feeding on it. I see sometimes the way Singaporeans eat, and they wonder why they're putting on weight, or they have problems with high blood sugar and things like that. I see them, they eat very fast. Check it out, one more bowl. Satay, teh tarik. You know, and they eat very fast. You see, you gotta learn to savor the food, enjoy the food. One scoop, take your time, enjoy the taste, leave it longer in your mouth. I know it's a big temptation, but learn to enjoy food. Like giving praise to God, be grateful for the food that you have. Enjoy. And the more you take your time eating, the faster you feel full. The easier you feel full. And then, you know what? You can say no when you learn to honor fullness. The same thing applies to music. Some of you, you listen to anointed music, and you know what you do? All right, you let it go into one ear and come out the other ear. Learn to savor the music. Learn to feed on the music. Learn to enjoy the music. Learn to flow with the highs and the lows of the music. Learn to become one with the music. At home, sometimes you are under stress. Close the door. Listen to godly music. Listen to anointed music or even classical music. Just listen to it, all right? And try to get involved in that music. If you are undergoing a particularly stressful day, you can't sleep at night, put on this anointed music like Still Waters, all right? Put on and then just listen to it. Don't worry about sleeping. Just enjoy, savor it. Before you know it, you'll be asleep. Amen. Best of all, when you're peaceful, evil spirits cannot find a landing strip to land. The devil cannot manage a peaceful Christian. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, this message is hazardous to your defeated lifestyle. Hallelujah. Is it too long for you to say? I understand, okay. Amen. When you are peaceful, listen carefully, when you are peaceful, health reigns in your body. When there's no peace, there is disease. Amen. Your mind will be calm. Your spirit will be calm. Your blood pressure will come down. When you listen to anointed or even classical music. Amen. But go for the best. Go for anointed music. All right? Most of the time. Amen, church. Has this helped you? Give praise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed at this time.